Civic City Joint Water Sanitary Authority is coming to order. We are meeting at the virtual and in person via Microsoft Teams at the Kiawanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room. It is 5 p.m. March 10th, 2026. The rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. No fist fighting, please. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions and refrain from any speech of a political nature. Roll call. Director Anderson?
Here.
Director Strotska?
Here.
Director Shoemaker?
Here.
Director Dole?
Here.
I am Director Donahue, the chair. Roll's been called for minutes for February 10th business meeting 2026. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for the February 10th, 2026 business meeting.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the February 10th, 2026 business meeting. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. There was some, although we had two board workshops on February 17th and February 24th. We did take meeting minutes. Do we have to read those?
You're talking about the workshops?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some discussion about that, whether we should include them. I included them in the original agenda. After consulting with Rochelle, I took those off because we did not transcribe those. Apparently, we don't usually transcribe the workshop minutes, and as long as we provide the audio recording on our website, there's no legal requirement to do so, so we did not.
Okay. For the edification of our guests and those listening, those two workshops were about the authority manager's review process and form. Excuse me. Financial report. Accounts payable from February 15th and February 28th. Any questions?
Questions.
Director Dole.
Page 1 and 2, Lloyd Hodge refund check. What was that all about?
Well, that's an interesting story. Rochelle, did you hear that question?
Just a second. Hold on a second. Okay, Rochelle, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Lloyd Hodges refund checks that were issued or refund check?
Yeah. He sold his house and he had a credit on his account.
$13,000.
Oh, is this the really large
That's
one?
The big one, Rochelle.
Oh, he accidentally sent us $16,000. Of
$160.
Oh. So the only way we could get this money back is to issue a refund.
Okay.
Well, that's nice.
Nice to have enough money. You can do that.
Wow.
I told you it was an interesting story.
Any other comments?
Not comments on that. But I have another question. Page three, John, was that the annual, the Pacific Power check 27482, was that the annual oil change and load bank testing?
Annual servicing.
Okay, and it looked like, it looks like 20 grand is to one side, 20 grand is to the other on the budget. So we're still looked like pretty good shape budget-wise.
Yeah, I think so. Rochelle, you can confirm that $18,600 AP for Pacific Power, that was for the recent annual servicing they did, I believe, correct?
Yes, it was. Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
That's it.
I have a question.
Yes, Director Strotska.
So for the Kiawanda Community Center event rental?
I can bring it up. How much is the...
It's a total of $265.
I believe that is our annual fee for our monthly meetings.
And we just we pay it once a year?
And we just pay it once a year.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Any other questions on accounts payable?
Our Tillamook PUD charges, those are pretty high this month.
Tillamook PUD? It's usually one of our larger monthly bills. We've got a, as you all know, we've got a lot of facilities that all use electricity. But is it noticeably higher this month?
It seems like it was $7,000 or something.
Yeah, just under seven.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If there are no other questions, I'd entertain a motion about accounts payable.
I move that the accounts payable for February 15th and February 28th, 2026, be approved as presented.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second about accounts payable for February, month of February. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Are there any comments about our general ledger for fiscal year 25-26?
I just have a admin thing. Is there any reason why we can't eliminate Master Plan 2 from the financial report? All the zeros, and is that necessary to carry that through on each?
Well, it is an account. The first account you're referring to?
The one with all the zeros.
Yeah.
There is a backstory to that. Rochelle, why do we continue to keep that account?
Which account was that?
That's the one that continually shows $0. I believe it was...
the very first account on our ledger.
Yeah.
The fund?
Yeah.
We save that fund in case we have a large master plan project. I imagine depending on how much the Broughton pipeline project is going to be, we may use that for that, especially if we're going to have any sort of loan or extra funding.
Okay, thank you.
And I noticed that on page four of the financials, the CIC, we're about 67% there, 33% to go. That's on sewer. The SDC is about 50%. And likewise on water, CIC is close. I mean, we're a ways away yet. I just wondered if there's any comment from Rochelle, if there are any construction projects brewing that might break in the last couple months that we have here, or any comments?
Let me look at my master plan project to see what we haven't done yet. Uh,
This would be for
revenue. One of our projects that is going to be funded by that fund is going to be the Woods Lift Station upgrade. We have not paid for that project yet. And maybe even more, some lift station wet well piping project that's going to come out of that. We have not paid for any of those things quite yet.
Okay.
Did that get to the heart of your question, or?
It was on the revenue side, we're on pace to fall short of the 10-10 is what it looks like. And I just wondered if there's a project that's out there that we're banking on or something to help.
To help offset
on the revenue side.
On the revenue side. We have.
We're still waiting on SEC, so that's the only place the money comes from.
Yes. And we do have a variety of construction of new developments going on. The question is just about the timing. Are these going to be developed to the point where they're ready to connect their water and sewer? Usually what happens is people wait until they're close to that point. And unfortunately, that's fairly late in the construction and development process. So we do have probably a dozen possibilities out there in various states and various states of development, but it really just depends on the timing and how things fall. I think we're sitting at about half of our revenue prediction for the year with only 4 months left to go. And so we are behind a little bit. We do expect to get at least a couple more, but unless we see a greater influx of these, we will fall short of our budgetary prediction of 10 water and 10 sewer SDCs.
Right. All right. Let's move on to item 6, our manager's report. John?
Thank you, Tom. Couple of things. Talk about it every month. Our unaccounted for water is holding very, very steady and has been for about the last 4 months. Still at about a million gallons per month unaccounted for. We have done quite a bit of leak detection. One of our problems is winter is the worst possible time to do leak detection. These are very sensitive acoustic devices. You're trying to hear water flow, and you're doing it when it's raining cats and dogs outside. So we have been a little limited in that regard, but you can see from my summary here, we have done all of Spring Street, 10th Street, Shade Street, Camp Street, Ferry Street, 2nd Street, 3rd Street, Hill Road, Stevens Avenue, Rogers Avenue, Ruppel Avenue, Sunset Drive, and all of Woods. And we have not found the culprit or culprits. We still have a lot of town to do. We're going to keep at it and keep covering areas that we have not surveyed before until we find these. And it's just a process that's going to take time. I've often described this process as a bit of looking for a needle in a haystack.
That's about 20%, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably, it's approaching a quarter of our service area when you factor in the
heights. No, I mean a million gallons.
Oh, that's between 20 and 25% of our total production right now. And of course, when we get to the high water demands of summer, that percentage will drop, but the volume will stay the same unless we find these leaks. As I indicated in the manager's report, oftentimes we can narrow down a potential leak if we suddenly see increased fill cycles at one or more of our reservoirs. If our fill cycles at the 600K suddenly increase in frequency and duration, well, there's got to be an explanation for that, and it's probably a water leak somewhere in the in our service area that the 600K serves. The same would be for the 100K. To a lesser extent, because it's a different animal, the 300K as well. But we have not seen any drastic shift in the fill cycles at any of our water storage tanks, which means that, as I suspect, this is not one large leak. This is a half a dozen smaller leaks, and we just have to find them. And so we are continuing to work in that direction. As the weather improves, we can devote more and more of our time to this effort. And I do expect that these efforts will yield results sometime very soon. But as always, I want to keep everybody informed about this. This is an important parameter, and it's something that we have to pay close attention to. Also wanted to mention that our current auditing firm has, over the last 4 years or so, has performed quite poorly. The quality of their audits is top-notch. The problem is it takes far too long for them to finish our financial audits. You have to do a financial audit every year. It's based on the fiscal year, and if it takes a year and a half to get your audit done, each audit done, you fall further and further behind. I have been expressing concern about this for quite some time. We've given them more than a fair opportunity to improve their performance. Unfortunately, people that are licensed municipal auditors in the state of Oregon, it's hard to find people that are taking on new customers. But what I did is I got the list from the Secretary of State's office, and I called everybody on that list, and only about 10% of them indicated a willingness to take them on. Of those, through interviews and discussions, I've identified a company that I think is going to be much better for us, and we have just engaged with that company on our 24-25 audit, which is already late. Now, the good news is as part of the agreement, they have committed to having this audit done in 3 months, which is much quicker than we've had a fiscal audit done in at least the last 4 years. So I feel good about this change we've made. I feel like they're going to be a good, responsible partner. And we have engaged with them just last week, and they are already beginning to work on this audit in earnest. So
is that the 25-26?
I wish I could say it was. Yes, actually it is. No, it is 24-25 that they're working on.
I thought we just got that.
No, we got 23-24. That tells you how far we've been behind. And we just can't allow any contractor to put us into this perpetual state of noncompliance.
So John, is there a difference in how much we're paying the new auditor compared to the old?
Negligible. Okay. Negligible. Yes.
And how much are we talking about?
$27,000 for an annual audit.
Okay.
And where our last auditor averaged about 24, if we can get these done so that we are in compliance with our filings, that's money well spent.
Is the Secretary of State's office mad at us because we're so late?
No, the unfortunate thing is over 200 municipalities in the state are behind on their audits. And I think it says more about the availability of qualified auditors than it does, you know, just people not...
Some of that was also caused by COVID, too. I think things got way behind, years behind, when COVID was happening. And it's just... It's hard to catch up.
It is hard to catch up. And kind of on that same note, pre-COVID, this auditor would send a team of people to our location, and they would be there all week, and they would get these audits done much faster. Now, even as far post-COVID as we are, we can't get anybody to come see us. They want to do this all remotely. And it's undoubtedly contributing to some of the delinquency in these audits. I will tell you that we have not received any correspondence from the Secretary of State's office about our audits. I will say that if we need a signal that they're aware we've been late for the last several years, I asked this auditor to file an extension when it became clear it was going to be late, and Secretary of State's office turned down our extension because we've been late the last couple of years. And even with the extension, our auditor has not even been able to meet the extension period that they requested. So, but the tide is changing on this. We're going to get caught up, and we're going to stay caught up. And but we had to break ties, our business ties, with our previous auditing firm for this very reason.
Is there any penalty for late audits? Does the state impose any penalties?
There can be, especially if you're substantially late. Because of the number of people that are behind, and I think just the workloads that everybody has, we have not been fined. We have not been found in some formal violation. But I want it to stay that way. So
normally, as long as you can show work in progress, they're not going to try to fine you at all. It's when you stop and quit dealing with them, that's when they come after you.
Where you show no progress at all. They've seemed fairly tolerant and willing to work with municipalities, but... I'd like to be one of those. I don't want to be one of those 200 people or 200 municipalities. I'd rather we were on time. We're on time and in compliance with everything else. This has been an issue that has we've been exposed to some risk here, and I want to be sure that it doesn't that we get back on schedule. So that we aren't potentially exposed to that type of compliance risk. And, we hire service providers all the time. I don't usually bring this up, but this was a big enough issue, an important enough service, an important enough issue that I wanted to make sure the board was aware that we have changed gears here. And we're going to see some significant improvement.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for the initiative to go after that.
Couple of project updates. The North Broughton Water Main. We're at the point in this project, the beginning of this project, working on scope of work, working on starting to put together drawings. And things of that nature. This stuff always takes the most time. It's the bid process. It's the engineering pre-job, and all that always takes the most time. Once construction begins and things are really moving fast, construction only takes a couple of months. Preparation for the construction takes significantly longer than that. We're in that period of time right now, so I guess what I'm trying to tell the board is I probably won't have any tangible updates on this for at least a couple of more months. But I am in conversations with our design firm. They are making progress, but a lot of work needs to be done, and progress, at least in seeing tangible results, are rather slow at this point in a big project. But they'll ramp up, and I know that our design firm is working on this every day. So just wanted to give an update on that.
Before you move on.
Yes.
I wanted to mention that John attended the Chamber of Commerce meeting and was able to speak to the group there about the Broughton project, which
good.
I thought was good.
Good.
Well, you know what?
Affecting you.
Yeah, I'm plugged into it, but the problem is like when I fire it up, we get feedback on the microphone. So, Tom, do you have an extra plug-in for this, or I could kill my microphone and perhaps, or you could kill your microphone and perhaps I could.
I don't.
Okay, let me try something here. But what I was starting to say is, who typically comes to Chamber of Commerce meetings? You know, the local business owners. And the local business, and we've got local business owners that are going to be impacted by this project. And so I appreciated having an opportunity to speak with some of them about the project and to, as I always do, emphasize the fact that customer inconvenience, doing what we can to minimize that, making that a core project goal, is very important. And I want all our customers, whether they're residential customers that live on these streets that are going to be impacted or business customers, I want them to know that that is at the forefront of our mind. Let me just, bear with me here a second. Let me just try this. Now, I sure thought that would come up.
That's the screen that's been showing the whole time.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It did have.
The team symbol is down at the bottom, but it never showed up.
It did have my background screen. Okay, but there's the feedback. Just a second. Testing?
Okay, I think we're good.
Okay, yeah. The other project I wanted to update regarding as part of the manager's report. The generator enclosure project, I've been talking about this since long before Ann left the board. This project is coming along. We've got the doors installed on the test sheds. We've got the electrical work done at 2 out of 3 sites. We've still got some grounds work to do. We've got some fencing work to do, and we've got the mechanical work to do, the mechanical work being primarily the evacuation of the generator exhaust outside of the buildings. So, but we've made a lot of progress in a relatively short amount of time, and that progress will continue. As I said in my report, with any luck, we will be completely finished with this project by the end of April. And this project has been talked about, or we've been moving this direction for at least 2.5 years, and we're finally almost at the end here. And this project is going to be really good for us and good for our customers. So, wanted to let everybody know that during the last month, some significant progress was made, and we will continue to make progress on this over the course of the next couple of months until the project is finally complete. With that, if there are no questions, that concludes my manager's report, Tom.
Okay, thank you, John. Let's move on to item 7, which is unfinished business, testing of privately owned backflow assemblies.
Yes.
What did you and Dan come up with?
Well, you know, I summarized our options in the manager's report. Our options were essentially do nothing, maintain the status quo, kick this can a little further down the road. We didn't want to do that. We feel, Dan and I both feel, that after 25 years, it's time to resolve this issue. And it's 25 years of additional work and expense for the authority. And, you know, and of course, by extension, that's expense that our ratepayers have been paying for, largely. And I think that continuing to test these unneeded backflow assemblies is just not sustainable. I do not want to leave this, at least entirely, for somebody to come in behind me to deal with. I feel like we've got some motivation to do something about it, and I would like to see us act on this one way or another, because I think it's important. We just, you know, even from a workflow standpoint, this is something that we want to get out from under. And I believe we can do this in a manner that that lessens the impact on our customers, that mitigates any PR issues or customer complaints or concerns. But I think we can do this in a smart, responsible, measured way and still achieve our goal. You know, we considered what I initially had endorsed simply because I've been managing these programs for so long and I know how they work. Privately owned backflow assemblies are always, the maintenance and testing of those are always at the property owner's expense. Now, of course, with our history, we know there's some history there. We know there's a little bit of a difference in our situation. But, you know, I think, Kathy, you said it best, that this was our mistake. This was our fault. And it should be on us to correct it. And to, you know, require the backflow preventers. As it turned out, one of the conditions of that was that we have to do the annual testing. You know, it just seems wrong to place the burden of this on our customers at this point. The ones that are in this situation are the customers that complied with our original mandate. And there weren't a lot of customers that did that. These were customers that complied. And I think simply turning our back on that responsibility is probably not the most responsible thing to do. And, you know, then we talked about, well, let's turn the testing over to the customers with the option for them to remove the backflow assemblies. Well, that option, as it was proposed, was still at the customer's expense. And, you know, it's hard to explain why 25 years ago we required these backflow preventers to go in. And then now in present day, we're going to tell them they're unnecessary after they paid for them. That just seems wrong. And so I don't want to do it that way. We did talk a little bit about, well, What about only invoke a policy like that for property owners who were not the original property owner? Meaning the house is sold since the original property owner paid out of pocket for the backflow assembly, and perhaps grandfather the original property owners that are still in the same house, even though it's probably only 20% of these devices we're talking about in that case. And then for the our other customers who have had no out-of-pocket expense as of yet, go ahead and turn the testing over to them. Well, that still doesn't achieve my goal. That means we're still going to be testing 20 or 25 privately owned backflow assemblies, waiting for the day when the property finally changes hands so that we can switch policy on it. I want to get out of the practice of testing these privately owned backflow preventers altogether. And so any consideration about doing that, although might be in some way equitable to the original property owners, it still doesn't achieve what I think the authority's goal should be, which is to quit doing this entirely. So Dan and I, after discussing all the options and trying to come up with the best path forward, our conclusion is that we need to make this right. And, of course, there's some thought, well, there'll be expense related to that, and that expense indirectly will be borne by our customers, and that's something that we probably should address with our customers. But the fact remains, for 25 years, we've been testing these devices, and the customers have been paying for that anyway. This method will eventually pay for itself.
Right.
And, we'd also like to take a phased approach. We feel like, every device that we remove will be based off of the successful completion of a cross-connection inspection, right? If we do a cross-connection inspection and there's a legitimate cross-connection hazard on the property and the device needs to stay, well, that's not a situation where we mandated a device with no identifiable hazards as we did 25 years ago. This is a case where the property does have a bona fide cross-connection hazard. That device has to remain, and in a case like that, it does make sense for the property owner to assume the testing. I also want to point out that these are privately owned devices, so we do need the customers, in addition to a cross-connection inspection, we do need the customer's permission to remove them. I don't think we'll have a problem with that, because the trade-off in that case will have to be, if they want to keep it, well, then they still take over the annual testing of the device, right? So what we're proposing, rough guess is we've got 100 of these devices left, maybe 120 times. We're proposing removing 20% a year, beginning this July, something that we will budget for every year for the next 5 years, beginning with our next fiscal year. And this spreads out not only the cost, but the workload associated with this transition over the course of 5 years. If we've got 120 devices, if we were to do them all in the same year, that's 120 cross-connection inspections I'm going to have to do. And, we also run into a situation. We can't do this work ourselves. This is on the customer side of the water meter. This is Oregon Specialty Plumbing Code jurisdiction. You have to be either the property owner or a licensed plumber to legally do this work. We do not have the authority to cross into plumbing code jurisdiction and do plumbing work. So this will have to be contracted out. Now, by spreading it out as well, though, the contractor of our choosing if we tell them we want a contract with you to remove 20 devices over the course of the next 12 months, that's going to be a lot easier for a contractor to commit to than we want you to remove 120 of these over the
right
course
now.
Of the next 12 months.
Yeah.
And so not only is that going to be easier for a contractor to commit to, but it should still be a sufficient quantity of work to give us some kind of preferred pricing or bulk discount on the jobs. Contractor will come into our community and he'll just bounce from house to house to house to do a day's work. Instead of driving out to remove one, driving back to the office, we ought to be able to realize some bulk savings as a result of this, and that's something that I hope to negotiate. But it's our hope tonight, and I think Dan agrees with me, that it's our hope tonight that with the summary I provided, that the board has enough information to act on this issue tonight.
And we're all here.
And I think we are ready.
I think we are ready to act on it. I think it's time.
There's the PR element that will have to be, communicated.
Right.
So that still has to be figured out on how we communicate that.
Right.
To
those people who are affected,
right?
Wouldn't that be a letter in their bill?
Something along those lines.
Deposit, then they'd just be getting a letter, probably.
Yeah, and under the circumstances, I think we need to do this. Of course, part of me would rather not, and I might add that we have never sent them a letter talking about all the testing we're doing each and every year of these devices. But on the other hand, I do believe it's the responsible thing to do. It will lead to questions, but after, we caused this problem. We need to step up and to be able to answer these difficult questions, and we should not avoid them. And so I do believe that there needs to be some kind of an outreach about
right.
this. What that looks like, we have time to talk about that a little bit more.
Probably not in the bill, though, because hardly anybody gets one of those.
Well,
a lot of them are direct deposit now, aren't they?
They're almost all electronic.
Okay. That's what I thought.
No,
I said
they're
that.
Not.
Yeah.
No. Never mind.
We've got 1,500 customers, about 900 of them get paper statements.
Oh, really? Okay, that's surprising.
Well, maybe
they probably never only mind. 600 are out of
So what's your proposal, John?
Well, my proposal is we save the discussion about how to approach this subject with our customers until next month's meeting. We aren't planning to embark on this until July, when we've had an opportunity to budget for the first year's round of removals. I think we make a decision on the approach, and then we can work out. We still have time to work those details out.
So you're looking for an action item here?
Well, what I'd like to see is I'd like the board to approve and endorse one of these methods.
Okay. Well, explain the best method.
Well, the method that Dan and I endorse was the last one I talked about, which is we pay to have the backflow assemblies removed, assuming a cross connection indicates that they can be removed without any risk to our public water system.
Okay, I would entertain a motion if someone would like to do that.
I move that in regards to testing of privately owned backflow assemblies, that the authority adopts suggestion D, where the authority will pay to have the backflow assemblies removed, assuming cross-connection inspections reveal no hazards on the properties.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to start a new policy where the customer pays for backflow assembly inspections, and we removed those that because of a inspection are not needed, and we pay for it, right? That basically what you said?
No.
Okay.
No, I think that with the ultimate goal of no longer testing privately owned backflow assemblies, that we propose that we implement a policy where over the course of the next 5 years, we will remove all the unnecessary backflow assemblies.
That works for me.
Is that, but I don't know if somebody wants to restate or something or not. I actually think the second, the initial motion and the second is good. I wanted you to understand the plan.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're adopting option D.
Option D.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for, in this case, option D.
So, D as in dog.
D.
D?
D as in dog.
Oh, okay. D, excuse me. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
We maybe should ask if there was any questions from the audience. I know that we've got a couple of people interested in this topic. Any? It's a little late now, but anything you'd like to say?
And
I'm not the board chair, so I shouldn't even be asking.
Thank you, but I don't have any questions about the process. I just want to applaud the board for taking this step, taking it now, so it can be prepared for adequately to start with the next budget year.
Yeah. Thank you.
One question I have.
As a member who sat on the other side of the table 25 years ago, I commend you for tackling this problem now. This should have been resolved 25 years ago. I was one of the people that voted against having this go through. But it was a very heated time. We had some very unhappy customers. We had threats of guns that if we ended up on somebody's property about this subject, they had a gun, they were tempted to use it. It was a pretty hostile time. And this manner that we resolved it in at the time, I think was just a way to lower the temperature. Yeah. But we did fail in trying to figure out how to be fair to the people that went ahead and had it put in. So as a thanks for doing what should have been done 25 years ago.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Glad we could finally do it.
Yes.
Will you be able to stay under the number, not have to go out for three bids? If the 20 plumber that are done is under?
Well, we will, and I think it's because we'll view these as individual jobs. They'll undoubtedly make multiple trips into town to still get this done. I think in this case, they're different addresses. I don't see a need to pull this in. I don't see a need to pull this into a single job, considering we're talking about potentially 25 locations over the course of an entire year. And with that in mind, I don't think it's going to exceed that threshold on an annual basis anyway. That threshold is $25,000. We expect, just rough estimate, we expect at the most these will cost $500 a piece to remove. And with that in mind, if we do 20, that's only $10,000 and we're still $15,000 below that threshold. So this won't be a situation, I don't think, where we have to get multiple quotes or multiple bids. This is, a situation where the total annual cost will be low enough that we are free to pick the contractor of our choosing instead of just the low bid. Low bid is fine, but, a job like this that is not a very specific, defined type of thing, this is going to be an unusual job for a lot of contractors anyway. And I think that, I don't think that will be necessary.
Okay, thank you. Moving on under unfinished business, item B, the authority manager annual review form. And this is an update. I've sent you, for the public, I'll just point out that we've had two workshops to go over this review form again. We have new directors on the board, and they all have different ideas about how this should go. And it started out just doing a little housekeeping, but it turned out to be, it took us some time to get through this. So I have sent, we have a committee of Director Anderson and John and myself went through this as a committee a couple of times, and we've had a couple of workshops on it. And I think we're at a product that we're just about done. However, Director Dole did contact me via email. He had some other ideas on part of the form. So I'm going to ask him to talk about it for a second or two. And then I'm going to ask the board whether the two copies that I sent you that the committee came up, one was I'll call it a full paragraph format, and the other was a bullet point format. Which of those two formats you prefer?
Yeah, I would have to watch.
And or if Dan's comments or any other comments would get us to have another workshop to finish this off, or we can vote upon it today. Dan, do you have your comments?
I think it was just the initial, and John can comment on this, was the manager goal instructions. It appeared to me to be almost threatening or judgmental that if the individual is rating himself, that if he didn't meet something pertaining to having to achieve these goals or exceeding these goals, the wording seems a little threatening.
Yeah, you know, we didn't really look at that part of those corrections, but I see what you're talking about here, where it says the following goals must be met.
Yes.
And I think that probably needs to be reworded a little bit, because if you don't meet them, then,
And I'm not sure my suggestion really changed anything. The following goals represent the core responsibilities of the authority manager position at PCJWSA to meet or exceed expectations in this role. These goals must be achieved or surpassed. It kind of eliminates the word must and sort of doctors it up a little bit to potentially take a little bit of the...
Just softens it a bit?
Yeah, I don't know. You're the one that reads it, and you're going to rate yourself.
I think that, what that wordsmithing may look like, I'm not entirely sure. I think we could probably... replace it with something like, these are the goals we want the project manager to strive for. I don't know.
Right.
You're talking about...
It's actually the next page, I think. Go ahead and flip the next page.
Just to make sure I'm tuned into what you're... Okay.
Goals. Authority manager, the following goals must be achieved or exceeded.
Yeah, whatever the board might want to do there, it's hard to achieve every single goal.
That's the thing. Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think that with just a little wordsmithing, we could get the point across and maybe soften it a bit.
Yeah, that was the only thing I had, and then we decide whether we want the bullet point or the full paragraph.
I agree on that.
What do you think, Luann?
I agree with Dan. I do think that's a little bit.
So the bulk of the, or all of the goals and everything we've set out, that we've rewritten, you like that? You're good with that?
Yes, and now that I see the two versions, paragraph, bullet points, next to each other, I think I prefer the bullet points. Initially, I didn't. But when I see them together and look at them, I think, yes, I like the bullet point.
I kind of like bullet points.
I'm a bullet point.
I didn't get that copy on this meeting.
He came by to get a copy, and I only printed one of them out for him. Here, do you have an example, Tom?
Yeah.
It's the same.
Same information, just formatted a little bit differently.
That's the topic right now.
Right. Rather than go through another workshop process and whatnot.
Okay, so it seems pretty, we have a consensus for the bullet points. So with some small wordsmithing on the instructions, could we go ahead and approve this form for this cycle of review?
Yes.
I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve the amended, revised manager performance appraisal form.
Review form.
Review form.
Second.
Okay, have a second?
Yeah,
second.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the Authority Manual Annual Review Form with suggested changes in the instructions. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No, we just passed them. I was just going to say, shouldn't it include with the bullet point format?
Bullet point format.
Yes.
A friendly amendment.
Okay. Works for me. Okay.
It's a living document. It's always going to be.
Let's move on to the South Tillamook County Emergency Volunteer Corps Radio Tower Proposal Update.
Yes, so recently we didn't have all the board members present, but I brought this proposal to the board last month, and South Tillamook County Emergency Volunteer Corps, this is the organization that also pitched the emergency supply shed to us at the Hunter Cave Reservoir. And so this is a group of volunteers that are primarily interested in public safety and emergency response and recovery. And I think they do some good work. They approached us and provided a written proposal at our last meeting about installing a radio repeater tower at our 600K reservoir to help them with some of their GMRS radio, these are handheld radio communications, and allow them to reach several of the critical sites east of us. I believe they've got a muster point or something along those lines at the K-12 school. I believe that they've
K-8.
Yeah.
The HEBO fire departments,
and currently we don't have
there isn't good handheld communication between those two points, and they would like to remedy that. And so they approached us with a proposal about installing a radio repeater tower. Now, I pitched that to the board at the last meeting. Dave Sears and Gary Billingsley was here to answer questions. And at that time, the board chair had decided that it would be best to table this issue until we had all board members present. And I'm actually glad they did, because as I mentioned to the board at the last meeting, almost as a side note, was the very day of the board meeting that I presented this proposal, I got a call from Tillamook County, who indicated they were interested in the 600K for some of their emergency communications. And for them, we're talking about police, fire. They approached me and felt like that would be a good location for one of their radio towers as well. Now, at the last meeting, there seemed to be, at least with the board members present, some receptiveness to the idea, but also some receptiveness to, if we can kill two birds with one stone here and help two organizations that are both focused on public safety and emergency response, if we could possibly achieve the goals of both organizations with a single radio tower, then why would we not consider that? Why would we not pause to see if that's something that would be possible, or see if it would be something that would play out? Since that meeting, representatives from Tillamook County came to look at the site. They are interested in the site. They followed up a couple of weeks later with an email that said that they've looked at it from a real preliminary standpoint, and the consensus is with the county that they are interested in the site, and they would like to pursue this site. We are still waiting for 100% confirmation for them, and we don't have that yet, and we want to wait until we make any decision, whether they decide that they do indeed want to pursue that, or if they decide that for some reason that it's not going to work, well, then we can go back and resume our conversations with the South Tillamook County Emergency Volunteer Corps. But all indications are is that the county would like to pursue this. I have put the representatives interested in this from Tillamook County and the representatives from STCEVC in contact with each other, and they have both expressed a willingness that they would like to collaborate together on this issue. So, as I mentioned at the last board meeting, there's really no downside to this from the authority's perspective. We have the space. The space will not be used for anything else, and it will have a negligible impact on our operations. So this is something I support, and it's something I'd like to see the board support as well. One added benefit to the authority, because, you know, sometimes people might ask, well, what's in it for us, right? Well, I think just helping emergency responders is all the things we need. However, if Tillamook County goes the way it appears that they want to go here, it sounds like they'll want to bring power, electrical power, to the site to support their radio system. It would be buried. It would come up along the road, probably, I'm sure, from Summit Drive. But if they bring power to that site, they would easily be convinced to pull some more wire through there and provide, a junction box of some kind to where we will now have the benefit of power at that site with somebody else paying for the initial cost.
I agree with that. There should be some sort of a census there that there's a certain amount of power that's brought in for future use.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of a telemetry do we have there now?
Well, we've got... Really, the only instrument we have sight is a level indicator that monitors the water level in the reservoir, but it is battery powered with a solar panel. And during the winter months, it does not work reliably. We have communication problems with that all the time. So, you know, that's just something we're currently using that we can benefit by hardwiring a level sensor instead of relying on solar panels and batteries to supply it. We don't currently have a lot of stuff up there, and I don't foresee a future need that we will need a lot to add a lot of things up there. But I can see some things that we don't have that would be nice to have, whether it's security alarms, tamper alarms on the hatch to the tank, level indicators.
Dust to dawn light.
Yeah.
Lighting up there.
Lighting.
Beneficial.
Lighting, you know, a better flow monitoring of the water leaving the reservoir. There are a number of things that we could really benefit from with power up to that site. And I'm convinced we would eventually have to pay to do it anyway. But this is an opportunity for somebody who's already going to bring power up there for something related to provide additional wires to allow us to have a reliable power source up there. So I really don't see a downside, but I'm not asking the board to make any motion on this yet because we're still waiting on the final 100% buy-in from the county.
Yeah.
But I think it'll happen. I think it'll happen before our next meeting. And I think this would be a good opportunity to help both organizations and for them to collaborate, perhaps have some cost sharing and some other things related to that. This is something I support, and I don't see a downside for the authority. So this is really just an update. And one of the reasons, too, I wanted to put it on the agenda is because I know we had two board members who hadn't seen the volunteer crews proposal, who hadn't had the benefit of representatives being here to answer questions. And I wanted to put it on the agenda to make sure that you guys were thoroughly brought up to speed.
I did read over that proposal that was in last. Mm-hmm. And it was very detailed, really good information, and I support this. I support both the county and the volunteer organization.
Yeah, I think one of the issues that I came away with after Dave and Gary were here was the fact that their standalone tower was limited in height, and it also had solar powered with battery backup, and there's a limit. As John just mentioned, they have problems with solar just for the level switch,
right,
or the telemetry or whatever. So I had called Dave and just asked him how he felt coming away from the meeting, and he had mentioned to me how it had developed with the county. And I thought, you know, that's a win-win. We eliminate their need to have battery changed out, shade, solar limitations, and they get to go up probably higher than what they had anticipated.
This will expand their range, yes, even more than they were hoping to gain.
I think that anything that doesn't have a negative impact on us and serves the community, serves the residents, is a good thing for us to be involved with and support.
All right. Well, what I'll do is I expect to hopefully by next month's meeting,
hopefully be able to come back to the board and have things more firmed up, and then the board can make a formal action to approve if the board thinks that that would be something they'd want to do.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
It's good news. Let's move on to item D, grant funding for watershed protection plan. What's our status here, John?
Well, this is another reason that I wanted to put on the agenda was this was something that has a hard deadline associated with the grant application and would not have been able to wait till this meeting to approve the pursuit of that. The board last month did approve this opportunity to pursue this grant, and we have applied. Well, let's put it this way. This is the final draft of the grant. It needs our highest elected official signature. And but it is due tomorrow.
Yes.
So we had to move fast last month on this, and that's what we good. Did. And so just for the good of anyone listening or attending, this is a grant that will be used to develop a comprehensive source water protection plan. We, by law, and it's been a decade ago, as all water systems in the state of Oregon had to do, they had to do basically a vulnerability assessment, a source water assessment that identifies the potential risks or the potential sources of contamination to our water sources. This is meant to be the companion document that, okay, the source water assessment identified the risk. This document is supposed to get deeper into mitigation strategies. And, you know, one thing to mention is that we don't own the land where any of our water sources reside. Our dune wells is on BLM property. Our spit wells is on State Parks property. Our watershed for Horn Creek is, well, there's three property owners involved. Primarily, 75% of the watershed is owned by the U.S. Forestry Service. The other 25% is owned by Stimson Lumber. You know, we don't own these, so this is not something to where we'll be attempting to regulate what people do on their own property. That's not it. This is a method to build bridges, to open doors to communication and collaboration so that everybody works as a team to ensure that we preserve and protect the water sources that our community relies on. And I have reached out to all of these stakeholders. I've gotten buy-in from all of them. All that's left to do is apply for the grant. It's up to $70,000 for water source protection activities. Both I and our consultant that wrote the grant are very optimistic this will get approved. And the actual plan development would take 12 to 15 months. Probably have a couple of public meetings related to it. And so forth, but I wanted to put it on the agenda again so that the board members who weren't here can be brought a little bit more up to speed. And you know, once we get this submitted, we wait to hear, and then we start work. And so this is another thing I don't see a downside to. And you know, more importantly, you know, I think it's good for our public image. You know, it shows good stewardship of our resources. It shows that we want to do all the right things to protect those resources. And you know, I think that, you know,
not only is this something that the property owners have gotten behind, I certainly think this is something our customers would get behind, and I know it's something that our regulators would support. So, again, really no downside, but it's we've already been approved to pursue it. I'll keep the board informed of the status as we find out.
So who is the grant to?
The grant to?
Yeah, who's the funder?
Oh, the funder is the state of Oregon. They've got, I wish I had my, if I had my manager's report from last month handy, I could give you more. There is a fund for this. That is, I believe it's funded by federal dollars, but it's distributed at the state level.
Federal pass-through money?
Yeah. So, anyway, that's really was all I wanted to update the board about on that topic. If there are no questions, we can move on to our
Thank you, John.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Sounds like a win-win again.
Don't forget to sign it, Tom.
Yes. Do not leave without signing that document.
Okay, item 8, new business. The fiscal year 26-27 budget calendar. Ms. DeLo, do you have some information for us?
I do. So in the board packet, we included the budget calendar for you all. These are not hard and fast dates if you guys can't make it, but if we have a majority, that'd be great. These are the dates that we want to lock in. So I wanted you all to know so maybe we can plan vacations around my dates.
We don't have to plan for the published notice of budget adoption.
No, that one's for me. But you can totally look for it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
I checked the date. It's okay. It works for me.
So far, so good. I have some medical issues that might get in the way, but we have remaining board members that can handle that if I'm absent.
What about you guys? How do things look for you two?
It's on the calendar. I put it on my calendar. So my world revolves around PCJWSA.
Yeah, I thought that was
yours.
Sign this guy up.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
No, it all sounds good.
Who are we on budget committee members?
Ah, there you go.
Members.
What's that?
Budget committee members. Are we?
We haven't checked in with everybody yet this year.
Okay.
Hopefully, all of you are still here.
Well,
by that time.
Besides us, I mean.
Yeah, Karen said.
Karen said.
Yeah, Sherry said yes.
Well, we
made. I talked to Scott not too long ago. He was. Gung-ho, so.
Oh, is he? Okay. Good.
Yeah, I saw him last week, and he's a little infirm, but he's still bright as ever. I'm looking forward to
seeing him. We need to recruit anybody or whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, well, we'll make those contacts, and we have to do it soon.
Yeah.
We'll make those contacts, and if anybody can't commit, we'll advertise for a replacement.
Because I have a couple ideas of people that might be interested. So.
Oh, good, good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, SDIS best practices insurance discount, I believe.
That's me again. So every year with our insurance, they do offer a 10% discount if you meet certain criteria. We've been really great about getting that 10% every year. That's a large amount of money. Sometimes it's $9,000, sometimes $10,000. That's huge. Well,
that's worth our time.
Yeah. And sometimes it's stuff that John or I have to do. Him as a supervisor, 1 year we redid the employee handbook just to update it. And sometimes it's stuff you guys have to do. This year, we already qualified for the first one. We are members of an affiliate organization. For the second bullet point I have on there, a member of either the board or staff needs to participate in a regional training, which there are several coming up, which I think would be wonderful things for you guys to do if those dates work for you, which I can send out to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
the annual conference is already coming past, so that's not going to work. And so then the third one, we are going to have to either adopt or redo a public meeting resolution. I don't know if we have one. We have to look into
public a resolution for what?
The rules of public meetings, how we have our public meetings. How we conduct them, yes, conduct.
Public meetings.
So put that in like a resolution form?
We would put it in a resolution form. SDAO has a template we can borrow from and probably add additional things of our own. We don't do anything special compared to other people, so I can't imagine we would add too many things.
Well, I'd like to see that suggested form. I'll have to look into SDAO.
And then the final one is all board members will be required to take a training. It is an online training. You watch a video, take a little quiz at the end, but it will print you out a certificate too, and you can send that to us. That way we just have it on file for in case we get audited about it and they ask.
And I think I'll need to assign that training.
That's something John will have to assign to you. It'll send you an email. And then if you don't get it done within a week, it sends you a reminder. And then 3 days later, you'll get another reminder.
So and that comes from that SDA.
And then I'll get a report on who all the bad kids are.
Is it all the same thing?
It's
all the same thing. Okay.
So in that kind of
this is for how much for percentage discount?
It'll be 10%. So our insurance this year, we paid $110,000. So we could potentially get $11,000 back.
And that's, is that liability or general liability?
It is liability front coverage.
That also cover board and off officers?
It does.
I believe it does.
It does.
Okay, thank you. All right. So we're at item 9, guest questions and comments. Our guests, do you have any comments? Or Larry?
I'm up for questions. I've watched too much news, I think, but I have been seeing, hearing, reading about how low a snowpack there is in the Cascades this year. And a number of communities are starting summer rationing of water next month, which made me start thinking, although we don't get any water out of the snowpack, obviously, what does our outlook look like? We've had an unusual summer, or unusual winter, with some very heavy rainfall, and then some really nice weather this winter, which affects, of course, the level flow and Horn Creek, perhaps the ground table. Do any of you have an idea of what our prospects are for the upcoming summer for our water supply?
Based on what I saw for Tillamook County weather this morning, we're in for one heck of a rainstorm for the next 5 days. So that will help. But after that, I'm not sure what the weather's going to do. I've only gone out to 2 weeks. So but yeah. We have had a lot of participation here so far this spring, but we don't have a snowpack. Well, Hebo does. Hebo got quite a bit of snow, actually, that last snow. There was a couple feet up there. I haven't been up there lately. I don't know what it looks like now, but we are in for a lot of rain this spring.
Yeah, and if I might just comment a little bit about that. You know, it's times like this where I'm thankful we live on the Oregon coast instead of in Eastern Oregon, or even Central Oregon for that matter. You know, we don't live and die by snowpacks nearly as much as the people that rely on runoff from the Cascades do, obviously. And, you know, I think it's going to be a rough summer statewide, but I don't see any reason to suspect that we may experience drought conditions here this summer. I guess it's always possible. What I worry most about some of the weather phenomena around here is wildfire as much as anything.
That's my concern more than anything.
Yeah, we saw in 2020 that we're not immune to wildfire issues. And so I do worry about that, but I don't have any concerns from what I've seen and observed and know. I don't have any water shortage concerns, at least this part of the coast. But, you know, I know a lot of people will be dealing with that this year, and I do feel for them. But I think our well, our aquifer levels are still at a good place. Our stream flow, of course, over summer will slowly diminish like it does. But I think we're going to be okay. But I think there's a lot of people, a lot of areas in the state of Oregon. It's going to be a rough summer, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Larry. All right, last item is Chair Director comments. I'd like to take this time to commend all of our directors, especially Director Anderson and our authority manager for their hard work on the authority manager review form. We've all put some hours into this, and I'm deeply appreciative of that. I'd also like to thank Dan Doyle and Director or Authority Manager John again for your work on the backflow assembly project. So thank you all. We all did some good work here. Anybody else have any other comments?
I don't think so.
Well, if not, it is now 6:26 p.m. That would be 18:26 in military parlance. This meeting is adjourned.